Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
The believer's only hope of salvation is entirely in, by, and through the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no redemption or hope of it apart from Him. Any attempt by a sinner to add anything to the finished work of Christ is to look and trust in yourself to earn and merit salvation. What did Jonah mean when he said salvation is of the Lord? He meant that salvation was of the Lord. And do you know what follows that statement by Jonah in the Scriptures? A period. A period at the end of a sentence means that no discussion is necessary. Nothing needs to be added. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. And in the verses before us this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, the apostle gives a great reminder. As we live with our sin in our daily lives, we are confronted every day with our inability to do anything to give ourselves life. We are saved by grace through faith. That grace and that faith is not of ourselves. Both are the gift of God. It's not by works. If it was, we would boast. If it was by a work of righteousness that we do, we would most certainly glory in ourselves. Believing and trusting in Christ is not simply difficult. No, believing and trusting in Christ is impossible in the flesh. But God's elect are given faith, and though they will struggle until they die, by God's mercy and grace, they'll die in faith. True believers will never quit. They will never stop believing. And it's God who gets the glory and credit for that. All of it. In verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10, the apostle brings to our remembrance something very important. We're reminded to cast not away, therefore, our confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now let me ask you, dear listener, do you have confidence in your salvation? If you know that salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should have great confidence. You see, the true believer will never cast away their confidence because their confidence is not in themselves but in Jesus Christ who keeps them. And the very one that keeps us is our great reward. John wrote, "He that hath the Son hath life," that being everlasting life, that being eternal life. And John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." But how can one who has no ability to save or keep themselves endure to the end? What confidence can we have that we're saved? Well, I'm glad that you asked. John chapter 13, verse 1 tells us that Christ, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Christ loving His people to the end is what keeps His people to the end. And again, we see that salvation is of the Lord. We cast not away our confidence because our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:6 says, "But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." Now, Christ is not a servant as Moses was. He is the Son. He's the Master. He's the heir of all things. Whose house are we? We're Christ's house. Believers are living stones built up into a spiritual house in whom Christ dwells by faith and over whom he reigns. And we hold fast this confidence. We rejoice in this blessed hope until the end. That's what true faith is. Paul told the church at Colossae that Christ will present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight, if we continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we've heard and which was preached to us, Colossians 1:23. Now that word "if" does not make our salvation dependent on us. Many say that's the case. That word "if" is not dependent on us if we hold fast our faith. What it means is that Christ keeps us to the end. That word "if" is dependent on him keeping us unto the end. The Lord preserving us and causing us to persevere in the faith. It's not our faith that saves us. It's the faith of Christ. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:16. You see, it's the faith of Christ that justifies us. His faithfulness to us is what saves us, not our faithfulness to him. Oh, I hear men talk about their great faith. Our faith is weak at best, friends. It's his faith. It's his faithfulness to us that saves us. Paul said in Philippians 3:9, to be found in him, found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, it was his faithfulness to me. It was him taking my sin upon himself and giving me his perfect righteousness. His faithfulness to do what God sent him to do, to save his people from their sin. That's what saves this sinner. Back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, we read, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Oh, what great hope and comfort that gives the child of God. But yet for a little while, we must continue to tarry, because our complete deliverance from sin and this body of death and the suffering of that sin that sin has brought will soon be over. It'll be then that we will receive our sinless, glorified bodies, because when we see him, when we see the Lord Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John 3:2. And in verse 38, now the just, those made just by Christ, shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, being raised in a free will Baptist church, I often heard debates and arguments over the doctrine of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Once grace, always grace. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Sadly, this is a very controversial doctrine, but it's not simply a doctrine, it's not simply a teaching, it's the truth of Scripture. To say that someone can be lost for whom Christ has died and shed his blood for is actually a blasphemous statement when you think about it. Now let me ask you, and I want you to seriously consider this question. Can a man, once saved, be lost? Can one whom Christ died for, one whom Christ shed his blood for, draw back? Can a born-again sinner draw back unto perdition? Can they fall under condemnation and eternal judgment? That's what the word perdition means. Well, I think the Apostle John answered that question as clearly as it's ever been answered. And by the way, the answer is no, absolutely not. A man cannot be lost once saved. Not if the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth saves you. You cannot fall back, draw back, or slide back. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, John wrote, they went out from us, but they were not of us. for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Now those who draw back unto perdition never had true God-given faith. They never were saved. A true believer may fall away for a little while, but they will not stay in that fallen state because God won't let them. It's God that keeps us to the end. We're kept by the power of God. And to say that a man can be lost once he's been saved is to say that God is a failure and that Christ is a failure. Now, there are three main reasons why men and women believe that they can fall away and be lost once they're saved. The first reason is they don't know the Scriptures. The average individual, a man on the street, a man in the pew, and sadly most men in the pulpit, do not know the Scriptures. The second reason men and women think such things is they don't know anything about the sovereignty and the power of God. Scripture asks, is anything too hard for the Lord? God can do anything. God can do everything. And until you see that God is almighty, that God is sovereign, he does what he wills in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, and none can say unto him, what doest thou? God is God. We call him God Almighty, but we don't think he's too almighty, do we? God has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. And on whom he'll have mercy, he has mercy and compassion. And none can be plucked from his hand. No man can pluck the sinner from God's sovereign hand. The third thing is this. Most people don't know what salvation really is. Listen to John chapter 5, verse 24. Our Lord there said, verily, verily, truly, truly, he that heareth my voice and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Now that's not what I say. That's what the Lord Jesus himself said. He or she that hears the gospel, he or she that believes the gospel has everlasting life. Right now they have it. They shall not come into condemnation. They cannot fall back, slide back, run back. No, they cannot come into condemnation. They already have passed from death into life. In John chapter 10, the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, tribulation or persecution, distress or peril, nothing. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What are you going to charge one whom God has washed clean by his own blood? What are you going to charge him with? It's God that justifies. If God justifies a sinner, they're justified. If God forgives a sinner, they're forgiven. Paul asked, who's he that condemneth? How are you going to condemn one whom Christ has died for and put their sin away? You're not. It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment or condemnation to those that are in Christ, to those whom Christ has died for those whom Christ shed his blood for. That's what God says. The Scriptures also say, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it, shall perform it, and shall complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes, it says, what God has done, nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. Now, is a man eternally secure? Well, it all depends on who saved him. If the Pope saved him, he's not. If the preacher saved him, he's not. If he saved himself, he's most definitely not. But if God saved him, he is. It's God that justifies. It's Christ who died. He is eternally and forever saved, the man who puts his trust in Christ. You see, the power of God is our security, not our own power. We have no power. Now unto him who is able, he's able to keep you from falling and to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, and glorified in his presence. God is able. That's what the scriptures teach. He's able to save to the uttermost them who come to God by him. In Romans chapter 4, verse 21, Paul said, being fully persuaded that what he, that being God, had promised, he was able also to perform. God is able to save. God is willing to save all who are in Christ. Now, our salvation is not resting in our power, but in God's power. The wages of sin's not paid by us, but by Christ, and he paid it in full. Now, most people don't know what salvation is. Salvation is not a mental acceptance of religious facts. Salvation is not believing doctrine. Salvation is not joining the church. Salvation is a new birth. Salvation is a heart experience. Salvation is receiving a new nature from God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All of his sin is put away. And behold, all things are become new. And people say, repent and believe. But repentance is not something that we did 20 years ago, right before we got baptized and had our name put on the church roll. No, the child of God is still repenting. Repentance is not a one-time sorrow. Repentance is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I have repented, I am repenting, and I will repent. And faith? Faith is not an isolated decision. It's not a one-time thing. I must believe Christ today. I must believe him tomorrow. I'll never forget when my grandmother died. She was not a church-going person. I never heard her talk about God. I never heard her mention the name of Christ. I loved her. But the issue is, did God love her? When she died, the preacher talked about a decision she made 50 years prior when she walked down an aisle and said a sinner's prayer and joined the church. Now, true faith is a state of grace. Faith is a commitment to Christ. Believers keep coming to Christ, and it's not a one-time thing. Believers keep believing on Christ. The scriptures say, to whom coming? By God's grace, I'm still coming. By God's mercy, I'm still repenting. By God's love and mercy, I'm still believing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says, to those who are being saved, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. The grace of God is not a weak offer or an invitation. It's not a plea with the sinner. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation to who? Everyone that believes. Now, as a young religious man, I sung softly and tenderly for years, but it's not true. Jesus Christ is not softly and tenderly and standing on the portals of heaven, waiting and watching and pleading with sinners to come home. No, he's not. If Christ died for me, he's sitting on the throne of God, pleading my case and my cause as my eternal advocate with the Father, but he's not pleading with me. Satan has desired to sift me as wheat, but Christ has prayed that my faith fail me not. That's what he told Peter. And Satan sifted Peter, but Peter's faith in the end did not fail. It did not stop. God is able to save to the uttermost. Do we really believe that? He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for those that he died for, Hebrews 7:25. And it's called preservation, Some call it perseverance. But we persevere to the end because God has preserved us. Perseverance is not apart from faith. Perseverance is in and by and through faith in Christ. Now let me show you that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Peter, speaking of God's chosen believing people, says, who are kept by the power of God. Now that's preservation. God saves, God keeps. Now watch the next two words, through faith. And that's perseverance. It's that God-given faith that causes me to persevere. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40, this was such a blessing to me, I know it'll be to you, but there in Jeremiah 32, 40, God says, and I will make an everlasting covenant. How long of a covenant? An everlasting one. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. Now that's preservation. God says, I will not turn away from them. I won't desert them. Our Lord Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never let you fall. I'll never let you fail. That's preservation. And again, verse 40, I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and I'll not turn away from them to do them good. Now watch. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. And that is perseverance. Our Lord says, I'm never going to leave them, and they are never going to leave me. Our Lord said in John chapter 10, I know my sheep. They follow me. I laid down my life for the sheep. Another shepherd they will not follow. That's preservation. I know my sheep. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. God's preserving his sheep. They follow me. Another shepherd they will not follow, another voice they will not listen to, and that's perseverance. God will keep his sheep, and his sheep will never, ever quit. God will save his sheep. Now listen to this. Our Lord said this, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauty of thy holiness. And the reason folks don't believe in the teaching of eternal security is because they haven't been told the truth about God. They don't know what salvation really is. Now, salvation begins with God. It doesn't begin with the sinner. It begins with God. He chose us. We didn't choose him. I know that's contrary to probably what you've heard all your life. But our Lord in John 15, 16 said this, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Christ chose us. Christ ordained us. That's why we bring forth fruit. That's why our fruit remains forever kept. Paul said, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So it began with God. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He loved us. The scriptures plainly state, John said, herein is love, not that we love God. Did you hear that? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. We love him because he first loved us, and that's where it starts. It starts with God. God purposed it. God provided it. God chose us. God loved us. God quickened us. You hath he quickened. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. The Son quickeneth whom he will. When we were ungodly, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It all starts with God, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Now, it sounds to me like salvation is of the Lord. In John chapter 1, verse 11, we're told, as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege, to become sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Now, there's no period there, just a semicolon. The next verse continues that thought. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. What James said, of his own will beget he us through the word of truth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that such good news? He gave us repentance. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. He gave us faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Paul said we are his workmanship. We're not our own. He hath made us, and not we ourselves, wrote the psalmist. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How did this matter of salvation and faith in Christ get all turned around? What makes men and women think that they save and keep themselves? Paul said, it was God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. It was God who was pleased to reveal his son in me. And it's God that will keep us. It begins with God and it ends with God. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. And he that hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it. He shall perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. Who began this work in you? It begins with God. He chose us, he loved us, he called us, he quickened us, he justified us, he redeemed us. We're accepted in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps us. He'll raise our bow bodies. That's security. That's preservation. That's confidence, and that's a good foundation. Now, I tell you, when men will stop arguing about eternal security, and that's when they come to see who does the saving. Friends, we did the sinning, but God does the saving. Is that what you believe? Our text says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not those who fall back or backslide and become lost. No, we're kept by the power of God. We're kept by his sovereign hand. None can pluck us from his hand. That's the best news this sinner ever heard. Is that not the best news you ever heard? Oh, that God may enable you to this day trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky, and our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.